God,
voice of God, you call to us, appear to us in many subtle ways. By your Spirit in us, open our eyes to notice, open our ears to hear, open our hearts to follow and obey.
A reading from Exodus. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, a priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, the angel of God appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, and yet not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight, and see why this bush is not burned up." When God saw that he had turned aside to see, God called out to him through the bush, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." Then God said, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." And God said, "I am the God of your parents, the God of Abraham and Sarah, the God of Isaac and Rebekah, and the God of Jacob and Leah." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then God said, "I have seen the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmakers. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them out of the land to a good, broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppressed them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" God said, "I will be with you, and this shall be a sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain." But Moses said to God, "If I come to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is this God's name?' what shall I say to him?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." God also said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent you.' This is my name forever, and my title for all generations." The word of life. A reading from Paul's letter to the Romans. Let love be genuine. Turn from what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal, but be ardent with spirit. Serve God. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless those and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought in what is noble in the sight of it all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never argue, never avenge themselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, and I will repay," says the Lord. No. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. And by doing this, you will heap the burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but be overcome with good. The word of God for the people of God.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from Matthew's Gospel in the 16th chapter. Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and endure great suffering at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. Well, Peter took him aside and began to scold him. God forbid it, teacher, this must not happen to you. But Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. You're thinking not in divine ways, but human ways. And then Jesus said to his disciples, if you want to become my followers, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. But those who will lose their life for my sake will find it. After all, what would it profit you to gain the whole world and lose your soul? What would you give in exchange for your life? Gospel of the beloved Jesus Christ. To take up your cross, deny yourself, follow Jesus, is not about being miserable. It's not an annoyance when you've got that uncle that's hard to deal with and you roll your eyes and say, it's my cross to bear. That's not it. That's not a cross. That's an annoyance. To take up your cross and follow Jesus is not about being a martyr. It's not about suffering because God doesn't want you to be happy. In fact, it's not about being unhappy at all. To take up your cross is to be willing to be vulnerable and suffer for the sake of love. And because it's born of love, it's a thing of joy. It's just hard, that's all. When you fall in love or when you have a child or a grandchild, it's easy, right? You can't stop yourself from loving. But when that child gets sick and you have to stay up all night or that little baby needs surgery and you're not sure if they're going to live, then it gets hard. When that teenager is hard to deal with, when that spouse wants something of you that you're afraid you can't give. It gets hard. Love is hard. And partly when Jesus says to take up your cross, he's just being realistic. That's really what love is, though. It's not just a matter that love is hard. What love is opening ourselves to the well-being of another. It is being vulnerable. That's what love is all about. And sometimes it's easy and sometimes it's pleasant and sometimes it's really hard. Because you know that your heart is going to be broken. You're going to love somebody who's going to let you down. You're going to care about somebody who's going to die before you do. You're going to have passions for things that won't come about. And your only choice is either to care or else to set yourself up to be heartbroken. And partly Jesus is just being realistic. But he's also inviting us to a deeper life. Because we tend to wall ourselves off. We tend to put up barriers so that we don't go to all those dark, difficult, hurtful places. The problem is, when we wall ourselves off from feeling pain, we wall ourselves off from feeling. And part of what Jesus is inviting us to do is to really be alive and to open ourselves to the pain of being alive. Especially being alive in this world. Taking up your cross doesn't just mean being willing to suffer because that's what Christians do. It means being willing to suffer because that's what it takes to heal the world. That invitation to take up our cross and follow, it's not for you. It's for the world. Jesus didn't come just so that he could have a good faith. He came for the sake of the world. And to take up our cross means to give our lives for the sake of the world. That's why you go through the pain that love takes, not just because love is painful, but because the person that you love is worth it. So Jesus' call to take up our cross is a call on behalf of the whole world. When God appears to Moses in the burning bush, God isn't just saying, okay, I want you to have a deeper faith now. God didn't seem to care much about Moses' experience at all. God says, I have work to do here. I'm trying to set the people free, and I need you to help. Are you on board or not? And for the rest of his life, Moses does this job that's really, really hard. And the people yell at him, and he yells at God. So it's a big mess. It's hard, and sometimes Moses rolls his eyes and says, God, are you serious about this? This is hard work. And God says, yeah, tell me about it. Come on, let's do this. That's what Jesus is saying with this invitation to take up the cross. Not to be miserable, but simply, I have a world to heal. Come help me. Let's do this. It's going to hurt. It's going to be hard. Let's do this. It's an invitation to become vulnerable to the pain of the world. And interestingly enough, the more vulnerable we become to other people's pain, the more vulnerable we become to our own pain that's been sitting there unhealed all those years. The more vulnerable we become because we care about other people's hopes and dreams and dignity and possibilities, the more aware we become of our own hopes and dreams and dignity and possibilities and power. There's only one kind of vulnerability, and when we open ourselves up, we open ourselves up to tremendous power. It's not easy. It will hurt. Martin Luther King Jr. had to train his followers over and over again. When you look at the training that those nonviolent activists had to go through in the civil rights struggle, most of it had to do with overcoming their own desire to be safe or to get back at people who were mean at them. Most of it had to do with repentance and purification and being ready to do this hard work. Because not only do you become vulnerable to the pain of the world, but when people see that you're vulnerable, they will hurt you more. That's part of what it means that Jesus is on the cross. You get extra pain. You have to be ready for that. But here's the miracle. When we are vulnerable, when we open ourselves up to all of life, including its pain, when we become open to other people's pain, we not only open ourselves to the deep mystery of life within ourselves, we open ourselves to God. Because this opening, that's who God is. God isn't some guy up in the stratosphere looking down from a distance with pity, thinking, oh, those poor human beings. God is the opening of being that we come out of. God says to Moses, I am. I am being. This verb of being alive, that's what God is. And it's an opening out of which we come. And when we open ourselves to the pain of others, we open ourselves to God. That's the mystery, that when we take up the cross, we enter into the life of Christ, who warns us, I'm going to go and suffer and die and be raised. To take up our cross is to take up our resurrection. Because to deny ourselves doesn't mean to say, oh, I'm nothing or I'm a terrible person. It means to deny this little, tiny, self-enclosed nut that I think of as my own particular self. What Paul calls living in the flesh. Living inside the walls of this mass of bone and skin and muscles. When I deny that and realize that I am a part of God, I belong to all of creation. I'm a member of the body of Christ, which is infinite. I participate not only in the death of Christ, but also the resurrection. I'm given life that's bigger than this thing. And then I don't mind risking this little thing for the sake of that big thing. Jesus says, what would it profit you to gain the whole world and lose your soul? To protect yourself and stay alive, but not have life, not be connected to the infinite of God. Well, that's hard. It doesn't come easy. But Jesus isn't asking us to do something big and heroic. Start small. When you're arguing with somebody, set aside your own argument and just listen to them. Hear not just their argument, but why they're arguing, what they're passionate about, what hurts, what they're longing for. It might feel like a little death, because you might end up putting so much energy into loving that person that you don't win the argument. Yep. We see examples, you can look around, of people who believe in winning, people who believe in walls, people who believe in making sure that they come out on top, no matter who's on bottom. It's a lifeless way to be, and Jesus is inviting us into a way that's actually full of life. But it's not complicated. It's not hard. It's not being a martyr. Paul has a pretty good idea of what it means to take up your cross and follow Jesus. It's pretty simple. Let love be genuine. Turn away from what's evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Ugh, that's hard because we're fond of saying, well, God says to love your neighbor, but you don't have to like him, right? And Paul says, affection. Learn to like them. And if you can't, that is your problem. Solve it. Get over it. Open. Keep opening. Outdo one another in showing honor. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Paul is simply talking about opening ourselves. Bless those who persecute you. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Not simply because it's a good way to be, but because that's who God is. When God speaks to Moses out of the bush, God says, I've seen my people in Egypt. I see these slaves and I know their suffering. And that word know is to know in the biblical sense, like we always delight in discovering when we're in junior high, that Adam knew Eve. That's what God means. I know your suffering. I am in intimate entanglement with your suffering. I experience it. I weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. Paul is simply talking about how to experience God. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty. Associate with the lowly. Do not repay anyone for evil. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. It's simple, but it doesn't come naturally. So we have to practice. That's why we pray and meditate, to practice opening ourselves up to that infinite love, that vulnerability of God, so that we can practice that vulnerability in our lives. That's why we come to this table time and again, because we want to go to that place where Jesus takes his heart and blesses it and breaks it open for us and gives it to us. And we receive that brokenheartedness. We eat it and it becomes part of who we are. And we live in the power of that brokenheartedness. And we experience this mystery that in that vulnerability, there is power. In that dying, there is resurrection. In that weakness, there is strength, because it's not ours. It's God's. So we come with empty hands. And we practice letting go of all the stuff that keeps us secure. We let go of all that stuff. We open ourselves and we discover that we are still held. And with those open, empty, vulnerable hands, we come and receive a little bit of bread and all of God. And we discover how blessed it is to live with open, vulnerable hearts. You pray with me. God, you are the vulnerability that gives us life. You are the opening out of which we come. Open our hearts to be vulnerable, to take up our cross and discover that right there, we are as close to Jesus as we can get. God, help us. Grant us the gift of open hearts. We pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence, to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.